Welcome to Positive Impact with Andrew Schultz.
This episode is sponsored by Positive Impact Transformational Coaching. Not only do I host this podcast, I'm also a certified transformational life coach, and I specialize in behavior change. Over the last 5 years, I've helped hundreds of clients from all walks of life create transformation and breakthroughs through my 12-week private one-on-one coaching program. Together, we uncover the things that are getting in the way and holding you back from being your best self and highest good, discovering the negative impact and consequences those behaviors and limiting beliefs are having in your life and in the lives of those around you, and then discarding those old ways of being to create new habits, rituals, practices to support you to create your own breakthrough and positive impact transformation. To get your journey started today, go to my website, theandrewschultz.com, or my Instagram, Positive Impact Andrew, to schedule a free 30-minute connection call. I'm here to support you, to serve you, and empower you in making 2023 your best year ever, filled with maximum success, significance, and fulfillment. Hey friends, welcome back to Positive Impact. Today, I have a special guest, DTO, in the flow, Dave Kemp. What is up, my brother?
Another day in paradise, Andrew.
So Dave, DTO, is an award-winning music producer designing inspirational music that raises the vibrations of the planet. DTO kicked off his career with a spark with his remix of Love Me by Grammy-nominated producer Stonebridge. DTO followed up with Nameless Energy, a yoga soundtrack recognized by Deepak Chopra for the Kirtan project Jai Ram, featuring Tari, did I say that right?
Tari Davey.
Nameless Energy is a music playlist guiding yoga instructors and students through a 60-minute yoga class. This album has integrated into the yoga world as an inspiring, healing, and transformational musical journey. So Dave, grateful to have you on, man. Thanks for being here.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
So, Muscatine, Iowa. Born and raised all the way to Costa Rica, where you're calling in from right now.
Yes, from the cornfields to the banana plants.
Yes. Omaha, Nebraska, where I am born and raised from Muscatine, Iowa, right across the border to Iowa. My Midwestern spiritual soul brother.
Absolutely. Midwest is best.
Yeah.
as long as you explore other places as well, but it's a great place to grow up.
And that's where I met you, in San Diego, actually. And so,
California journeys. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Great place to be from the Midwest. When I made that journey from Omaha to San Diego on August 9th, 2002, one of those aha moments I'll never forget. I'll tell you that.
That was just a couple of years ahead of you. I was in 99. I made the journey over 2,000 plus miles. Yeah, I had a small little Toyota Tercel and, you know, really loved the possibility of heading west, you know, go west, young man. And it was really beautiful to expand and grow. And, you know, we all get to be born somewhere on this planet. We all get to come out of Mother Earth. And then the rest is us discovering and being in the flow and recognizing what spirit is guiding us towards. So it's awesome that you and I both were born and raised in the same area of the world. And then we both took off and wanted to expand our horizons.
Absolutely, man. So let me ask you this, Dave. I love to set an intention with all my guests before we, you know, the first part of the podcast. So what would be your intention for today's, with for our time together? What do you want people to walk away with?
I'd love for people to recognize their own empowerment around being creative and how creativity can be an awesome way to live by choosing, because we are creation, we are creatures of nature, and we can create artistically, and we can also utilize our minds, our hearts, to really find our best pathway in this lifetime.
And for you, you found your creative outlet, your full self-expression through music. Is that right?
Yes. It was a wonderful introduction. Thanks for that. Around having designed music specifically for yoga, breath work, meditation, of course, like more upbeat festival style, danceable music as well, but it's all rooted in my pathway. And I know we have a common pathway, brother, of practicing and learning about yoga and the physical asana practice, as well as the philosophical experiences of learning about Mother India. So for me, my background also as an educator, I had this really aha moment around how can music be a pathway to have people learn about the seven chakras, the koshas, and more people are recognizing as well that music is one of those fastest ways to shift your energy. If you think about it, if a song comes on that you remember from middle school, probably takes you right back to that middle school dance or those circumstances that you were living. If you hear a particular song in a yoga class, and let's say there's some challenges happening either physically or in your mind, you're thinking something, it could just like kind of clean that out, the slate, and be like, I'm present, I'm breathing, which is interesting because my song Breath is the most playlisted streamed song of mine. And it's really about like returning to your breath. And the aha moment for me really was being classically trained on piano as a kid from the Midwest. And then when I made my journey out to California and I started to practice yoga, it was funny. I was living in Encinitas and I just had moved there and I saw these people carrying around these cylinder tubes. And they had smiles on their faces. And later I've discovered, of course, those cylinder tubes are yoga mats and they just got out of a class. But, you know, being from the Midwest, I didn't know what yoga was growing up. I think my parents and I, we watched the movie Gandhi. I knew that much about India, but it was pretty much unaware. And let's say that it's become more mainstreamed only in the last couple decades. So that's really what I kind of synergized my passion of music, my passion of yoga, and then combine that into designing music specifically for that. So yeah, I'm so glad that my mom taught me piano. Big shout out to you, mom. Thank you. And I started exploring musical instruments. And this is way before TikTok and internet and Facebook and all these other activities that you could do. I mean, the only video games we had back then was like the Atari 2600. So what are you going to do in the summertime? For me, I bought a drum set, had my keyboard, and my buddies played guitar and bass, and we all just jammed and played music. And, you know, music is something that I always grew up loving. So that's really like the general theme of my life as a creative soul has been to be self-expressed with music. And that's how you and I met.
Yep.
Pretty cool, right?
Absolutely. And the Breath song that you referenced just hit 2 million downloads on Spotify. So I want to acknowledge you, man.
Thank you. 2 million streams.
And that's a big deal. And I want to give you a shout out and acknowledge you because that's like, you're in your flow, man. And what a beautiful way to celebrate and acknowledge your creative expression than, you know, having people stream it and have that positive impact through that creative outlet.
Yeah. Thank you. I definitely felt that was a huge achievement when I hit 1 million. And then all of a sudden, like 2 million came even faster. And it's that, you know, video killed the radio star. Well, I think playlists are now taking over everything, the video and the radio, not the podcast. Podcasts are strong, And so they're growing and more people are streaming content more and more, and people are integrating my music into audiobooks, podcasts. I just got my two of my songs licensed for a film documentary. And it really comes back to what you're sharing, like the power of an app like Spotify to be accessible to so many people, especially in the healing world, that are massage therapists, yoga instructors, Reiki, breath work, all of those individuals that I've had playlist that song. It completely has paid off dividends of like, wow, like more and more people are booking me for festivals, more and more people are reaching out for me to teach them about music production. So yeah, that 2 million mark, and let's put the intention out that in 6 months or less, we'll hit 3 million. So it's all happening.
Yeah. And in 2022, 1.2 million streams just for the calendar year 2022. So another huge celebration. And I don't know what it is. I'm curious. What's going on in Australia? People love you in Australia. Sydney, yeah. Sydney, Brisbane, and Melbourne, the most downloaded places, cities in the world. What's going on with you in Australia?
Well, I love my Aussies. So thank you for adding me to your playlists. I go back to when I was booked with Himalaya at the Bali Spirit Fest, where there's a ton of people in Australia that go to Indonesia and they go to this Bali Spirit Fest. And I just connected with tons of Australian yoga instructors. Actually, one of them invited me to be the musician for her class spontaneously. And more people started playlisting it. And I feel like there's also this big movement that's taking place in like the health and wellness world in Australia. More people are seeking, you know, easier ways of being in flow with life. And I feel that Mother India, from the yoga that comes into our lives, and, you know, eating clean. And so, of course, like I have a healthy lifestyle that I promote, and yoga is a part of that. And Spotify, what's fun about it, and all these other apps, Apple and Pandora and Tidal and whatever other apps, are just like, my music's being streamed on like 30 plus apps right now, and YouTube and all the places and spaces. And so what's really curious is, when I was a kid growing up, the only one that ever heard my music was my parents, who were saints, by the way, to let us just jam and play music at the house, or maybe the neighbors and maybe the police officers that came over if the neighbor complained. But you know, that was rock and roll back in the day. But now you create and produce, and here I am in Costa Rica, and you upload and distribute your music. And it's just magical how all of a sudden, as you're reading out the list of cities that stream DTO music, it's like, wow. And then momentum builds. And it's all like, everyone hears this word a lot. I know it's a buzzword. It's like algorithms. Like, who knows how many people are going to share it. And then you get into like reels and Instagram stories and TikTok, where then people are adding your music. And let's say, some of that has to do with like good marketing skills as well, Andrew, of, you know, I have a marketing agency and it's like proper hashtags. Sometimes I'll DM instructors. Once I saw that Australian momentum kicking in, then of course I supercharged it. And I was like, hey, that's my audience. I'm going to provide what the people demand, you know, I'll keep on supplying it. So I started to direct message a lot of Australian hashtags, like Aussie yoga hashtag or Australian yoga teachers hashtag. And then I was like, hey, I'd love for you to add some of my music to your playlist. And yeah, so that's the story behind that. And yeah, as you could tell too, from the analytics, it's like over 100 plus countries that a lot of artists like myself get to have their music enjoyed and listened to by people all over the world. So it's a whole new paradigm.
Yeah, that's awesome. And you know, for me, we just hit 95 countries for the podcast. And there's countries I've never even heard of. And I look at the analytics of, you know, people listening in a certain country that I had never heard of. And it's like, it's same thing. I upload the podcast and then it distributes out on all these different platforms. And I get to look at the analytics and like, be like, holy shit. Like, I've never even heard of this country. And there's people listening to the podcast, and just the ripple effects. Like, that's what's so amazing, that as creators, like if we're creators and that's our creative outlet, like we can reach people unlike any other time in the history of the world.
Yeah. The content creation game is fun, right? Because you don't know that ripple effect, that paying it forward energy, where someone can listen to even this podcast in this moment and be like, wow, yeah, we're all connected. And recently, I think it was they announced that there's like 8 billion human organisms on the planet now. So there's so many of us that can be reached and accessed in ways where in the past it was, you know, only the cool stuff in North America, at least, was going on like the East Coast and the West Coast. And us, you know, Midwestern boys were like, oh, I guess breakdancing's cool, but you know, that was already hip in New York like 2 years ago. But until MTV came, right?
Yeah.
Then that like took everything to another level. And like people like Michael Jackson, they did like the Thriller debut, and like that was a global phenomenon. And of course, like this upcoming Super Bowl, and I think Rihanna's performing. So now like musicians and artists and creative souls or content creators like yourself with your podcast, like the ability to really sync up and connect divinely with those individuals that are magnetizing, right? It's like what's seeking you is what you're also seeking, like the whole reciprocal experience of life. So that's awesome. How long have you had your podcast?
This is year five.
Amazing.
This is 141 yeah. episodes. And, you know, here we are, two Midwestern boys. Now I'm living in Bend, Oregon. I just moved from San Diego to Bend, Oregon. You're living in Costa Rica, but like it's never been easier to create content, free content with our technology in, you know, social media. You know, it gets the intention behind our use of technology and social media is very important. And when we use it with intention and reverence, like you're a perfect example, Dave, and what I'm doing, what you're doing of creating content for people to listen to have a positive impact. For people listening, it can be overwhelming. It can be, you know, I should be doing this based on comparing ourselves to others, but hopefully people listening are using your story and my story to inspire them to take action and lean in and publish the book, push record, push play, and put themselves out there. And that's why I really want people to listen to hear right now from this conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The word I keep on thinking of is, you know, the Latin word, like courage, like your heart, which is corazón in Spanish. And that's the root word of courageousness. So if you're in your heart, if you're out of your head, because what stops people, I feel, from pushing play, record, or just going for it, waking up every day and just jumping out of the bed and saying, hey, I'm here, I'm alive, I get to share the blessings and the gifts. And honestly, it's like an honor of your ancestors. Like my grandfather was a violin player and my mom's a piano teacher, vocal coach, and all those gifts, like the 10,000 hours they say to become a genius or master. And I'm sure you've heard the book, The Big Leap, that talks about your zone of genius. So it's like, if you have a zone of genius, of course, when we're talking shop, all of this seems like very familiar, about motivation, about taking action, going for it, like transformational education and yoga and going beyond, you know, what you believe is possible and, you know, limiting belief systems. All these are like buzzwords and like trending ways that certain communities and bubbles speak about, but we always get to recognize like, hey, back home in Nebraska or Iowa, there are people that have not yet recognized some of the messages that once you and I tapped into were like, yes, we're yes. And we keep on saying yes along the game board of life. Mm. And we keep on connecting the dots and saying, yeah. I mean, Steve Jobs famously said at one of a graduation speech, he said like, only later in life do you connect the dots and recognize why that happened in this chapter in your life, this chapter. Where I feel like nowadays, because things are happening so quickly, as you said, you're an episode 141, it's like you can start even seeing a trend, a pattern where you're like, hey, this is my place. And even though you're in Oregon and I'm in Costa Rica, same thing with my musical collaborations. People are globally located anywhere. And like us, we have these home studios with great microphone technology. So yeah, we can absolutely reach the masses. So anyone listening, go for it, no matter what, whatever it takes.
Absolutely. So high vibe music. I know you market yourself as high vibe music, and as a listener and a practitioner of your work, in preparation for this podcast, I was jamming out to your music and it put me in a high vibe mood. So I want you to tell us, Dave, for people listening, what's the difference between high vibe music and non-high vibe music, and mm-hmm. how, and what is the impact on, you know, physiological, psychological, neurological, the benefits of high vibe music for people listening, of why it's so important.
Awesome question. Yeah. My tagline is raising the vibrations. And Nikola Tesla said that everything is energy, frequency, and vibration. And so when we get to raise our vibrations, whether it be an awesome conversation, whether it be waking up and, you know, gardening or having some activity that really resonates with what you love, whether it's going on that trail run and going to the gym or whatever it is that we all have as our personal routines and practices or hobbies, it can really support us in raising those vibrations. And as I was alluding to earlier, is when you get stuck in your head and you're overthinking, like sometimes we're at a level where we're overthinking the fact that we're overthinking, like the head and the mind can be a trap. And so as you and I know, is like when you're in your heart, all the music I produce and create, obviously I need to have my brain. It's a beautiful organ, but it's only one of many organs in the organism where I know the places and spaces on my computer software of where I'm going to add and multi-track recording and all the technicalities. This is like when you know how to drive a car, you know technically where to put, you know, your foot on the pedal and the gas and the brakes and everything. But when you're cruising in your car, that's a different vibe than just I'm literally driving from point A to point B. There's a different feel. So I would say the same thing goes for music. When you're actually in this flow state, DTO in the flow, I'm in my heart. I've already had some rituals, some practice. Like this morning, I had a beautiful yoga practice and the yoga instructor, she added a brand new song of mine that's perfect for Shavasana. And so it was like, it's like that affirmation. It's that sender, message, receiver feedback loop of communication, those four stages. So what I would say is it all starts with the sender. So if the sender of the content, the art, is with the intention of like an energy that just doesn't raise your vibrations, that might be like a revenge or something that's, or I'm just in a bad place, or I'm just feeling off, right? I feel like through creativity and music, now music is music is music. Like a C major chord is a C major chord, or a C minor chord is a C minor chord. So I'm not here to say like there's music out there that has bad intentions or negative necessarily, but I do say that there are certain chord progressions and techniques that I use, and there's certain ways that I personally prepare myself before I get into the music studio where I feel so elated. I feel like I'm on cloud nine. So therefore that's a reflection back of how I go in and have a process around how the music's designed and created. I mean, I love Metallica. I love Van Halen. I love, you know, Beyonce. I love all these artists. I love Sade. So there's all these different styles of music that has inspired and influenced me. And, you know, I used to go to like Lollapalooza's back in there and we used to play a ton of rock and roll. So, you know, there's definitely music that I feel that when you're in your creative flow in your heart space that, you know, I listen way less of certain styles of music than I did before because of the question that you're answering or I'm answering right now is like, how do you get into a place where you just feel your heart, you feel alive, you feel like in that unified consciousness field. And then when you're in that, for me as the sender, then the message, which is my music, can be received by you, Andrew, and other listeners of music or listeners of this podcast. And then the feedback is like, wow, I'm inspired now. So if the feedback is, oh, I feel horrible, I feel sad, and I'm actually going to go crawl in a cave for a week and not doing anything, then probably it's not the best form of energy to be experiencing, right? It goes back to the vibration and the frequencies and the energy that's being outputted. So that's kind of my role, is tapping into like the seven chakras and working with music on energy centers. Like I'll design music with frequencies and be like, oh, is there enough root chakra? Is there enough crown chakra? And I like work intentionally within that realm and that space. And of course, my logo has sacred geometry in the O. And that's really what my flow has been about. And I think you just know whether the sound waves align with you or they don't align. So I think that's like an individual choice. Like sometimes I'll listen to music and I'll just be like, no, I'm good. Like that song doesn't really resonate with me. It may have been great years ago. So it's all about alignment. I think that's the main theme that comes up for a lot of us. For you as well, Andrew, like, does it align or doesn't align?
Mm-hmm. Beautiful answer. It makes sense. So for you specifically, Dave, first off, quick question. DTO, the name, is there a story behind it?
There's an awesome story, and it has to do with psychedelics.
Please elaborate.
So, small town kid from the cornfields of Iowa. And I am a super late bloomer. I became a school teacher. So I was like straight as an arrow, eye of the tiger, focusing on becoming a high school Spanish teacher. And that's one of the reasons I live in Costa Rica now. And when I was in my 30s, I actually met and started to date someone that was in the whole like Burning Man scene. And so if anyone doesn't know about Burning Man, it's this huge festival in Nevada where people come together for a whole week and they build the city. Black Rock City, they call it. And there's so many creative pieces of art and music and lights. And it's this whole inspirational place of creation. And throughout the history of humankind, if anyone Googles the history of psychedelics, you'll know that we're not the only version of human beings that have experienced with ways of like opening up your mind and your heart and just having more presence and sensitivity, I would say. And so when I was 31, I had my first psilocybin experience, which most people know as magic mushrooms. And I was in San Diego, and it was after my first Burning Man experience. It was essentially, I went on this trail run, and it was weird. It was like this whole like experiment with energy. And if anyone has been on psychedelics, you know that it can showcase the shadows and the lights and everything in the middle and between. And I was in nature and it felt very sacred. And in the same time I was trail running, most people that live in Southern California know about chaparral. It's like the landscape, you're in the desert. And I had seen, you know, a bird fly over, and I saw a snake, and then a butterfly like came across. And then at that moment, I like saw my hand, and I had this moment of like panic almost, because I, you know, did the silly thing. If you go trail running, make sure you have water on you. I didn't have water. And I felt like this, almost like an ego death, which a lot of people explain. And I was like breathing hard. I was like, whoa. And then all of a sudden I just felt like ease. And I saw this beautiful landscape, and I was like looking at my hand and like looking down and looking at all these other creatures. And I just, the word organism came to me. I was like, wow, look at all these organisms. And I'm an organism. And I had this like sense of presence. It's almost like the movie Avatar, when you get in that Avatar body and it was like, whoa, I'm in this body. Oh my gosh, I'm alive. And that was like my 1.21 gigawatts from that moment on, like, whoa, I'm here. I'm present. And I was so grateful to be in this body. And from there, I started to tell my friends like, hey, I'm an organism, and the planet's an organism. Mother Earth is alive, and that tree's an organism, and you know, plant life and human life and animal kingdom, plant kingdom, the whole cosmos. And they were, you know, of course, my friends after a while are like, okay, dude, enough with the organism stuff, but we're going to call you Dave the Organism. And so my birth name is Dave. And then everyone just started calling me DTO for short. So naturally, when I started to create music, which, you know, creating sound waves and sound design that all weaves together and allows us to feel mind, body, spirit, it makes sense that that sacred geometry, that organism energy, is a part of who we are. So that's the origin story of DTO.
Oh, you heard it here, friends. Yeah.
Yes. So it is.
So it is. So above, as below.
As below.
Thank you for sharing that. I did not know that. And for people listening, Dave and I met about 4 or 5 years ago. We collaborated together at a community event where Dave played his epic live music for a group of people coming together for a yoga practice in Del Mar, overlooking the ocean. And it was amazing. And so here we are again, 5 years later. And I love all the things that you're doing, man. I'm really proud of you for, you know, this embodied Costa Rica. You know, you're living in Costa Rica. Tell us about the embodied Costa Rica. I want people to listen and hear about all the things that you're doing, but what's embodied Costa Rica? What is it? And how can we support you?
Thank you. So I started to come to Latin America in the 90s. I went to Mexico, went to Venezuela, came to Costa Rica, and I completely fell in love with the culture, the people, the music, the dance, the energy, the good vibes. Or in Costa Rica, that everyone that's been here before, you know, it's called Pura Vida, which is pure life. It's like the aloha of Hawaii. It's like everyone says Pura Vida. And so I had it really imprinted in my soul that I wanted to return. So when I became a high school Spanish teacher, started teaching world languages, I started to bring students to Costa Rica. So Costa Rica has just been like an amazing place for me for since 1997. And I'd always had this vision, like, I want to live at least like half the year in North America, then the other half somewhere in Latin America. Mm-hmm. And we flipped the script, Hemalaya and I, because in 2020, we came to explore what it would be like to live in Costa Rica. So we tested out three different locations and we ended up finding this beautiful, charming mountain town that National Geographic says has one of the best climates in the world. We're in that Goldilocks zone. We're at 2,300 feet altitude. And Hemalaya had a really deep spiritual connection with the land. And we just, for renting for 1 month, at that point, the owner said, hey, do you want to be caretakers of this land? Would you like to buy the land? And we were like, oh my gosh, that'd be amazing. So miracles happened. And essentially, Hemalaya was already doing programs and online courses that had the word embody. And so it was about like teaching people about what that is, but bringing it to Costa Rica. And so we offer Embody Costa Rica experiences that are transformational camps for adults to revive, regenerate, and to embody their vision. And so that's really what it is. And I'll break it down for you. You can tell I'm a school teacher in this moment because Embody is an acronym that has six different aspects to it. So E is for empowerment, M is movement, B is breakthroughs, O is opportunities, D is dharma, and then Y is yoga. So we bring in Hemalaya's lineage is from India. So she really brings in the pieces around dharma and yoga. And we're all able to choose to be leaders. And so the empowerment piece is around like, what's your role in this lifetime? And it's not always about the breakthroughs. It's also about the breakdowns. Like we all have breakdowns. We're not always like with rainbows and unicorns and sparkles all the time. And so it's about like, what is the breakdown? Where's the block in your life? What is stopping you from achieving whatever your childhood dreams are, whatever you're dreaming up in this moment, like anything's possible. So as a community, it's been beautiful because we've done four retreats. Our last one sold out and our next one is coming up and it's already like halfway booked. So we're very excited about the momentum and the community building that's taking place. And a lot of people really align with what we do. And of course it has to do with coming to discover Costa Rica. And we go on waterfall tours. We go to the rainforest. We go to mineral hot springs. We take people on cultural tours to these organic coffee farms. And it's always about like supporting the local economy and being the bridge. Because as you can tell, you know, I'm fluent in Spanish. And then also some people that come from other countries want to learn more about either the language, the people. And I think more than ever in human history, there's a ton of people. I mean, you moved to Oregon. I moved to Costa Rica. We have a ton of people that have like little star seeds have gone all over to different locations on this planet. And to me, this is like a charging station, right? There's something powerful about being with the land, nature, and a beautiful community. And there's a lot of souls that have come here that feel deeply aligned. So the vision is, in addition to, as I shared with you, the 2,000 square foot yoga deck, is to have a full experience of like a retreat center for people like yourself. That's a yoga teacher, anyone out there that wants to do a retreat. Then, you know, we're feet on the ground here. We have all the connections and contacts. We speak the language. And another thing is we're really focused on the central valley of Costa Rica. So we're only like a half hour from the capital of Costa Rica. And, you know, the beaches are wonderful. And there's a lot of people already doing a lot of this work on the coasts. It's kind of oversaturated. So for us, we felt the calling to come to a unique location and really bring this work to people and get to know our neighbors who are Costa Rican. And for example, Hemalaya does women's circles monthly. And I have a lot of men that I've met that will do like musical jams and hangouts. And so that's a lot of fun to just be an authentic community here in Central America.
Beautiful, man. I think after, I know for me, like we just moved up here, my girlfriend and I, to Bend, Oregon. We wanted more time out in nature, more connection with Mother Earth and the land. and disconnect from the go, 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 do, 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 and more time outside, hiking, natural cold water immersions. You know, the mountains are nearby. And I think, you know, after what's happened the last 3 years, being isolated and disconnected, more and more people are making that move to more nature and more in the cycles of the season. And I really want to acknowledge you for having the courage to do what you just did, you know, in the last 3 years, because it's easy to stay comfortable and content with what we're doing day in and day out. And that's another big reason why I wanted to have you on, Dave, is give permission for people listening, you know, like we said earlier, to push send, to push play, to push record, but also to have the courage to get up and move to that place that you've been wanting to move. And, you know, for us, it's, you know, 6 months and reevaluate after 6 months. But like, I'm learning so much about myself living in a new community for the last 2 months away from everything that was comfortable to me.
Yeah.
And so can you speak to your experience on how that's been for you? And please, when you do share, talk about, you know, the not fun times, the challenging times, because I don't want people listening to think it's all rainbows and unicorns our life, because it's not. And so share a little bit more on your perspective of the last 3 years, but if you can include a time when it was really tough and how you got through that dark night of the soul.
Great question. So in 2019, you know, you said you moved to San Diego in 2002. I moved to California in 99. So I had this intuitive little tap on the shoulder, I'll call it. And a lot of us, when we were able to stop and really listen and be in our bodies and even just put our hands in our hearts and just breathe, there's a lot that can come up that usually we're distracting ourselves to not really go within. And so I already had this intuitive ping that I was sharing with Himalaya. I was like, I feel really complete. Like I'd played all the yoga studios, as you know, Andrew, North County, South County, all over San Diego. I know all the yoga, you know, studio owners, instructors. I did those huge events on the USS Midway that sometimes had like 1,000 people practicing yoga and morning news shows and all those ways of getting my music out there. Launch parties at the Belly Up, you know, and all these amazing venues. And so I just felt like whole and complete. And it was funny because around that time I was feeling that. That's when the school district I was teaching at had massive budget cuts. And basically I was the low man on the totem pole. I didn't have my tenure, which is interesting how education works, right? Even though I have my master's degree, other people had been working there longer. So they have the whole tenure system. That's a whole other podcast. But basically I was like, I felt like my dad had just passed away the prior year. He was a school teacher for 35 years. And when I was a school teacher, my dad and I just really synced up, got along really well. And I almost felt like the legacy of his teaching experience that last year when I taught formally in a classroom, I was, you know, wearing my shirt and tie, just like high-fiving kids, playing some Spanish music as they came. I was like that cool, fun teacher to be like, vamos a aprender español, you know, the song Despacito was big, you know? And all of a sudden, all that in a sense, I felt was just taken away. I was like, man, I don't have a job. And then I interviewed at another school district and they hired me. And then guess what? A little glitch in the matrix. Like a week before we were going to start school, they reached out and said, oh, actually the teacher that you're going to replace is going to be coming back. And technically, you know, you didn't sign that last document. You were going to do that. So unfortunately, it's not going to work out. And of course, I just had a massive breakdown. It's like, what the heck? And I was like, you know, money scarcity came up. I'm a failure. And Himalaya, her wisdom from, you know, I would say ancient wisdom for modern day insanity. She comes in. It's like, well, what's your soul calling you to do? There's something else around the corner. Like, there's got to be something else. And I was like, I couldn't see it. I couldn't see it. I was just had blinders. And I just felt in my yuckiness. And, you know, I always told my students this, but I didn't apply it at the time. I always said, like, you know, feelings are temporary, but you got to feel the feelings to make them become temporary, right? If you just ignore them and stuff them away, then that goes back to like the shadow. So essentially, we started to feel into, of course, everything that happened in 2020. Little interesting side note is we just started to think about astrocartographer. This friend of ours that we were referred to. So astrocartography is basically, so if people think of like your astrology is in relation to when you were born, or what year you're born in Chinese astrology, and there's Vedic astrology. Not many people think about, is the actual longitude, latitude of where you're located on this amazing planet called Earth, is it aligned for you for all the right reasons, right? Is it going to support you with your growth, your expansion in your business, your love, your health, your wellness, right? And so we actually had Costa Rica as the number one country that was recommended for us to move to. So at that point, we were feeling like, okay, let's try it out. So then we came here for 7 weeks, canceled our return flight from Costa Rica to the States, and we ended up staying for 7 months. And then the big hard part came is like, okay, we were clear. It feels good in the moment. Like, we're going to choose to live here. But then the hard part and the breakdowns and the challenges come with, how are you going to do an international move? As you know, Andrew, moving from California to Oregon, there's still challenges. You're still moving is moving. As statistically studied, moving is one of the most stressful experiences in life. And then you get into like the Marie Kondo, like, does it spark joy? What do you get rid of? What do you keep? And then you start going through your whole existence almost. And then, you know, the fact is we're all material girls living in a material world. So it's like, how do you get rid of that? Even the non-attachment approach that yogis always say, it sounds great. Like, oh, I'm non-attached, but then it's like, oh, I want this and I need this. So the big thing was, you know, moving internationally, doing a big moving sale. And, you know, there's cultural shocks that people have. And I always tell people that want to move internationally or move anywhere, like, vacation is different than immigration. So you can come and vacate and go somewhere and enjoy it, and you're going to have an amazing week wherever you go, but attempt to like actually live there and learn about, you know, being the caretaker. We have an acre of land and we have a home, and then we started a construction project. So that was a big breakdown too. Like, learning that things are like pura vida, you know, as in Mexico, they'd say mañana, but your Western brain, your Western mind's like, I want that thing now, instant gratification. So it's being patient and having faith is really important in the process, as we all say, like, trust the process. So those are some breakdowns that I had from a personal level, from a career level. And that's one of the motivations for me to focus more on my musical career. And also I started a marketing agency because I used to be the national marketing director of a tech company. And so just bringing in all my skill sets, as I was saying earlier, like, connecting the dots now, besides like waiting on my deathbed and be like, oh, I could have done that. And I had these skill sets, like, really consolidating, synergizing, and saying, okay, here's what I choose and here's what I can do and how I can be, right? It's always about, how am I feeling when I'm supporting people in that space? Or how am I being creative and then also inspiring other people to, you know, raise their vibrations and have success? And so now, as I've shared, a lot of people that come to our Embodied Costa Rica experiences, it's almost like they want to hear a master class from us, which we pretty much teach on the last day. Like, what would it look like to live internationally? And just tell people clearly, like, hey, you're going to have challenges, and let people know in advance. It's kind of like if you're a parent out there and you have a child that's not a teenager, my warning or my advice is just wait till they're teenagers. And I've had plenty of parents say, like, I wish someone would have told me that once we become teenagers, you know, although there's amazing teenagers that still want to like give hugs and be close with their parents. But when I was a high school teacher, kids become independent, right? And that's what you're seeking. You're seeking your tribe. You're seeking your community. And that's really what I would say is connect with people, learn from people. I think that's what a lot of people in business always say, like, talk to people, ask people questions that have the experience. So that's what I'd love to become for many people, as a resource. So that's, those are pretty much what I've, the moments that I've experienced. And hey, this is really only the beginning. So I'm sure there'll be more challenges along the way and more failures, but that means that you're living, and that means you're growing.
All right. I love how you said you're being that for other people, a resource, and being of service, you know, creating positive ripple effects for other people. Is there one or two people, Dave, in your life, who is that person for you, a mentor or somebody who inspired you to do what you're doing today, or help get you through a tough time, that you want to give a shout out?
100% want to give a big shout out to my buddy JQ. He was, and still is in many ways, more so from the sidelines, but he was an active participant in opening up a world for me of how I can become empowered to produce, create, engineer, design my own music, and to not rely on some other engineer, some other studio that has whatever office hours that are different, or waiting for someone else that has the skill sets, where we all know this. Sometimes ideas come to us at any given hour of the day. So for me to have the ability to jump in and say, wow, I got this song idea. Boom, I'm going to jump on my computer, my keyboard, my drums, and I'm going to create. And so having that mentorship and that guidance was massively an eye-opener for me. I remember not even being able to sleep. I was like, you know, the night before Christmas, coming down the stairs, like went to open up all the presents. I was like, I just can't wait to create another song and learn how to do it and be empowered around it. But also it was like, I had multi-tracking experience. There was also like these Tascam recorders back in the day, like reel to reel in my high school years. It was the concept of multi-track recording has been around for a long time, but because I was so focused on my teaching career in like the classroom of Spanish, I never really was thinking about like music from like house music. And the like, I totally missed the rave scene, by the way. And then it got into like, of course, the Burning Man scene, and then like a static dance, and then yoga, and all of these other experiences of how music and a lot more like sacred instruments are being put in, like sitar from India. And obviously the Beatles did a long time ago, but there's a whole other movement that's taking place. So that's where, for me, my buddy JQ, he told me, he basically said, hey, you are a musician. You have the musicianship handled. I'm going to show you a whole other world of how now you can become a producer. So I'm grateful to say that, you know, the endorsement I got from Deepak Chopra and the debut album I had, all of that was based on having that person that saw the potential within me to completely skyrocket and have a whole music career that I got to choose my own pathway.
Absolutely. And you sharing that pathway with all of us today and every day through your full self-expression in your art, you know, it's, you're giving people permission listening, Dave, you're giving them permission to step into their own creative outlet, whatever that is. You're giving them permission by sharing your story today on this podcast. You're giving other people permission to step into their full self-expression on whatever that is. I know that to be true. So I want to acknowledge you again. Also, you've been a huge inspiration in my life, because what I do, my coaching clients that I work with, you know, I have coaching clients from all walks of life, especially young adults, and I share your music with all my coaching clients to get them. A lot of my coaching clients are in dark places. You know, it's addiction, it's mental health, challenges, suicidal ideation, you know, self-hate, fear, shame. And so I share your music as a way to lift them up, and I just have them listen to it. And the impact it has on my clients, it's priceless. And so when you say, you know, your high vibe music to raise the vibration, I know that to be true. And that's how I use and leverage your music for my life, as well as the lives for my coaching clients and people who are important to me. So thank you.
That warms my heart, brother. That's amazing. Yeah, it's that whole, as I said, sender, message, receiver, feedback. So I appreciate that feedback, because then your clients and yourself get to receive the energy that came from what I was, you know, sharing in those creative moments. And that's really what I'm hearing as a possibility for everyone that's listening, is how is it that you can really synergize with your gifts, synergize with other artists, other, like for example, with you coaching, Andrew, of like being that contribution to people's life, being in service, and knowing that the recipe and the ingredients of life, you're always experimenting, right? We're in the laboratory. And I do that with my sounds. I know you do that with your coaching, of like customizing and catering what message and what that person really needs, and for them to be empowered and to really, for all of us to know that we're all connected, we're all in this together.
Yeah.
And to have that team mentality, like we're all on the same team, like even if that helps everyone right now, you've been like, oh, this is someone else and this neighbor is that, or my whatever relationship, like we're all here together, we're on this third rock from the sun. Like, hey, yeah, this is, we're all learning as we go, we're also in the classroom of life. So we're saying that you don't know is completely permitted and perfect. So it's like you clear, you know, your mind and say, teach me, like, tell me more. And that's where the mentorship, the coaching can all come into play.
Yeah. All right. So people listening, how do they find you? They want to listen to the music. Where do they go? They want to, if they're interested in the retreat, give them some resources to, so they can come find you and learn more about what you're doing. All right. We'll put that in the show notes because Dave just froze on us. And I will put Dave's contact information. Oh, there he is. He's back.
Great question. So call to actions, as we call it in the marketing world, right? So I encourage and invite everyone to go to dtomusic.com. And from there, you can get all the links, all the places and spaces if you want to buy a licensing program from me to as a content creator, if you want to have my music as a soundtrack for YouTube, if you want to use it for a movie, documentary, film. That's what I love to share with a lot of people. And then, of course, get your DTO merch. Got some great t-shirts, especially for those people that love to practice yoga. And then all the links to all the apps that we talked about, like Spotify, I'd love for you to playlist my music, add my music to your reels on socials. If you invite me as a collaborator on Instagram, that means that you would be able to leverage my network and I would be able to share what you're doing. So it's all that like cross promotional, rising tide raises all ships philosophy. Yep. So I'd love to invite anyone to integrate my music into their lives, however they see it. And yeah, that's the best place to find me. And then for our transformational camps that we do in Costa Rica, that is at embodycostarica.com. And that's the same for our socials, Embody Costa Rica. And if anyone's interested in my marketing agency services, what we strive to do is deliver whatever it is that you need, where at the end of it, after aligning with your vision, we're like, here you go. And you say, oh my gosh, it's perfect. So it's easy to remember. The website is everythingisperfect.com.
Beautiful. Thank you, brother. I appreciate you. I want to acknowledge you again for all that you're doing and how you're showing up in the world. And it's an honor to have you. And we'll share all those in the show notes for people listening. Thank you again, Dave. Appreciate you, your friendship, your support, and your service to humanity.
Appreciate you, Andrew. Thank you for this awesome interview, this podcast. Keep on being awesome.
All right. Talk to you soon, friends. Thanks again for listening.